Hey, it is a pleasure to talk to you, man. You are a living piece of rock and roll history.
Oh, I'm a former minor celebrity is what I call myself.
But you still sound pretty young.
Well, I know. My voice has not changed. Everything else has changed, but my voice is, you know.
So it takes you a long time to get a good stream in the morning, but yet you sound good in the afternoon.
You're not supposed to tell people these things, man.
But you know what? When Rolling Stone was started, everyone that was involved with it was pretty young.
That's true. I think I was the old man. I mean, Jan was 21 when he came up with the idea. That's pretty young.
Yeah. And how old were you? How old were you being the first photographer?
How old I was?
Yeah.
I was like in my late. I think I was 26.
That's still pretty young.
Well, yeah. Well, now it is. Looking at it now, it's pretty young.
So we're trying to do quick math here. So you're like almost 60.
Oh yeah. What do they say? I'm closer to 60 than the 60s.
But you were there as it was all, as rock and roll, really classic rock as we know it now. Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix. You lived around the corner from Janis Joplin.
Exactly. Janis lived there, The Dead lived there, The Airplane lived there, and then bands that you've never heard of lived there too. Steve Miller didn't live very far away, and look at him. He's still touring. His songs are so, I mean, it's classic. It's so persistent, this classic rock, you know?
You can't get rid of it.
Well, thank God.
Hey, what was your first picture that you took that got on the front of Rolling Stone?
Well, I'll tell you this. The first issue of Rolling Stone, interestingly enough, the cover, it wasn't even a cover. You'd have to see it to understand. It looked more like the New York Times than it did what it, you know, than it kind of morphed into a magazine. So the front page had a PR picture of John Lennon. But inside, I had this big story about the Grateful Dead getting busted. I followed them down to the bail bond, you know, when they had to post bail. Then they had a big press conference. Then they came out in front of their house and, you know, paraded around for me, and we did some wild pictures there. So that was the first story.
What were they busted for?
What do you think?
Well, back then, I mean, was it busted for weed, for LSD?
Yeah, they were busted for weed. And what's very interesting about that is in their press conference, they said, look, okay, you're busting us for weed, but if you busted every lawyer, every doctor, every politician in this town for smoking weed, the jail would be full. You know,
why are you
picking on us?
Yeah.
No, it's true, because everybody was doing it then, man. You'd go to the Fillmore Auditorium, for example, and even if you weren't high, you'd get high because you'd get a contact high. I would go there trying to keep my cameras in focus and stuff because, you know, that's what I was doing. But
looks
man,
like
you know,
it's a good picture, man.
Exactly. You really, people say, "Hey, did you do drugs and things like that?" Well, first of all, there was no automatic focus, there was no automatic exposure, so I had to be pretty, you know, pretty clear about it, operating those cameras. However, you come back from a concert and there's nothing you could do.
Right.
Nothing you could do to stay straight.
So when you were fried, that came off artistic. You just couldn't focus.
Yeah. Well, exactly. You're giving away my secrets. That's
I'm
not
sorry.
Fair.
Between that and the stream in the morning, I'm killing it.
Man, you're telling everything about me.
We're talking to Baron Woolman, one of the original photographers for Rolling Stone magazine, and your stuff is going to be on display at this classic rock art show this weekend here in Buffalo, and we're pretty excited about it. It's going to be pretty cool.
It's a great show. You know, Scott puts together this great collection of images. The thing about classic rock, you know, is it appeals to people who were there, like me, and people who weren't there, probably like you guys. Sound so young, you probably didn't even make it to Woodstock, did you?
I just turned 48, and I was a hair too young for Woodstock.
Well, that's it. So the people who know about classic rock come and see pieces of rock history that they were a part of. The people who are curious about it, they come and they get a real good window into what it was like at the time, you know?
Yeah. I'm much younger than Larry. Is there any pictures of NSYNC?
Yeah, no, there's some Eminem, however.
Any Britney, 50 Cent?
Yeah.
No.
Were you at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductions when Jan was inducted this past year?
No. They used a bunch of my pictures, but I didn't go. I mean, they invited me, but I didn't go.
We have pictures of it if you want to buy them.
I'll trade you.
Cool. What? I mean, it sounds like kind of a standard question, I suppose, but like, of all the photographs you've taken, is there one that stands out to you as the most memorable or the one you're most proud of? Or
there is, you know, one. I think there's one, and I believe Scott has it in the show. It was when Jimi Hendrix first came to San Francisco and performed at the Fillmore. And I tell people, you know, I was on stage. Listen, man, in those days, We had access. Access is everything. If you can get close to the musicians, you can get fabulous pictures. Right now, all the pictures look pretty much the same because nobody can get close. You get two or three songs. You can't go back in the dressing room, blah, blah, blah. Anyhow, I was on stage with Jimmy, and...
Hendrix.
Hendrix, yeah. Is there another Jimmy?
I didn't know.
Jimmy Page, okay, there's another Jimmy. But I got really in sync with the guy. I mean, I can't tell you, I was in some other zone, and I got so many great pictures of him that day. Usually a photographer says, okay, if you get two or three great shots off of each roll, you're successful, but... You know, on that evening and the next evening when I shot him, I would get 15 or 20 images on a roll of 36 that were just fabulous. Well, my absolute best picture, action picture, came from one of those nights, and it was Jimmy at a kind of a peak emotion, you know, at the exhilaration of playing guitar. The thing that a photographer tries to do, a still photographer, when you're working with action photos, is to get a moment that somehow symbolizes the entire concert. You know, that's pretty tough because there was no MTV then.
Right.
And I always tell people, if you see the image in the viewfinder, you've missed it. So you have to be so in sync with the musician and anticipate his or her each move, you know. And I figured, like, I know it's pretentious to say it, but I figured I was playing the camera, he was playing the guitar, and we were just kind of playing a duet.
He appreciate it? Did he see it and go, man, we were together on that? I mean, is he appreciating it as much as you?
Well, you know, I don't know that he did because obviously he was gone by the time, by the time we put it in the magazine. However, people see this picture time and time again in this whole Jimi Hendrix kind of collection, and they respond in a very emotional, positive way.
Yeah.
You'll see. When you go to the show, you'll see that picture. He's got his mouth in a big O. He's kind of, I mean, it couldn't be any better. I could not improve on that photo.
Yeah, I mean, it's a moment in time in classic rock history, especially like the stuff like of Janis Joplin and Jimi Hendrix. They were young, they were in their prime, and then they were gone. But you were there capturing that. And I'm looking at the list of some of the stuff that is at this Classic Rock Art Show. Again, it's at Eastern Hills this Saturday and Sunday.
And people
free
can,
admission.
People can buy these, right?
Right.
Yeah,
and this picture is there that you took, this moment in history, signed by you, which is a really cool collectible.
Right, and there's a very interesting shot of Jerry Garcia there, because a lot of people don't know that Jerry Garcia's brother, when he was like 5 years old, chopped off part of his finger, and he kind of kept that hidden most of the time. Well, he came into the studio in 69 when we were doing a cover story on the Dead, and he kind of raised that hand like to wave, and it was the first time he publicly really showed that that finger was missing, man.
Yeah.
And even today, people look at it, and they try to kind of bend their finger like he did, and they don't realize, you know, that picture's there, too.
Yeah, right, yeah. A moment in history. Well, cool. We're looking forward to the show this weekend and seeing all your stuff. And, again, it's free admission. And it's a pleasure to talk to you, man. You should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame yourself.
Hey, thank you. Put that in writing, will you?
Yeah. Sure. We'll make it happen. We'll put it in writing, and we'll put it right on this bulletin board in the studio.
Right, and I'll never see it again, right?
Thanks a lot, Baron.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take care.